It's compelling diabetic radio, whether you are one, pre-diabetic, or no one on your block.
Or like it or not.
Like it or not. Yeah. Haven't been on in a while. It's good to be back.
Before we start, of course, we have to get off with news. And the first news, it seems like only yesterday that you joined the Diabetic Club, Dobie, but this is your 7th anniversary.
Okay. I thought you were going to tell me I was a type 3.
Look, it's been 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. This week,
yeah,
you were tossed in the mix.
It was in June, too, exactly right. And I had to go to the hospital and get surgery and all that nasty stuff. And you hear, womp, 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 blood sugar 500. I said, is that good? They said, a couple more and they'll drop you like a gorilla, like a yak, a wildebeest. Yeah. So I know nothing about it. So talk about education. This is it. And that's why we started the show, is to educate people that maybe have our new diagnoses. What's the word? I don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
But millions of people are, and we are here providing a service. Because it was scary. I called you. You're the one, because I've known you for years, and you were a type 1. I'm thinking, are they going to yank my liver out with the conductor's punch? I had no idea what was going to happen.
And now looking back at it now 7 years ago, mm-hmm. I'm really sorry I was laughing so hard when you told me that you had the diabetes. That was bitter. That was not nice.
Totally came out of the blue, though. I had no idea when they told me at the hospital, it's like, diabetes. They said, does it run in your family? I said, no, they all have cancer and they deserved it, but no diabetes. Mm. And they didn't laugh. It was meant to be a joke. But
yeah, it's very rarely laugh in the EC. Yeah, But overall, last 7 years,
We're still above ground, and we're still educating, and that's the good thing. We have a great guest on today, and we're going to learn more about...
Now, let's be interesting. I'll touch on it now, and then we'll do the news here. Our guest today will be Janet Whipple. Mm-hmm. And, okay, Dobie, as we sit here in our diabetic... I almost said comas. Well, not really yet.
Commas.
And we say to ourselves, gee, if only I had a pancreas that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Janet Whipple has, or had... a pancreas that worked, but way too much. It's going to be one of those cautionary tales, if you will, mm-hmm. whereas be careful of what you wish for.
Is this a Frankensteinian transplant story?
Now, you see, if you let it dangle like that, that holds him through the first commercial break.
That's my point. That's why we're here.
I like it. Okay, well, I'll go to the
news.
What's
in the news?
Well, basically, as you know, the managing of blood sugar is pretty much whether you want to live on this planet as a diabetic or not. Mm-hmm. The A1C is, as we've discussed, the long-term effects of how you've been handling your control.
Which is 90 days, is it long-term?
Yeah, and that comes from the red blood cell. That's where the sugars hang out, and somehow they can tell when they draw your blood how much has been the average amount of sugar in that red blood cell.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to get it around 5-6% is the A1C is what you're looking at.
You don't want it to be like Aunt Jemima's syrup.
Yeah, or in the teens.
Drain your A1C, all of your pancakes, and you're still too sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't want it. I have a question for you before I continue.
I'm sure.
Say a mosquito bites a diabetic. Will the mosquito become diabetic too?
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
Yeah, communicable disease.
Take the A1C of a mosquito?
Boy. Again, you give up good reasons. I mean, because you could work to use the disease.
But these are things I want to know. Our tax dollars at work. It's going to be a $6 billion mosquito diabetic study.
Oh, it hurts. Oh, and good luck for that grant. If you get a grant, we can drop this radio thing. Okay, so the deal is that you're going to do the blood sugar. You got the gum disease. They're hand in hand. The worse you take care of your teeth, the higher the A1C turns out to be, and your control is worse off. The trip to the dentist... hopefully you take them because it does appear to reduce your risk of the diabetes if you don't have it yet and to lower your A1C levels if you do. Now, it's according to a study from Spain, dental treatment known as scaling and root planning does not sound good, but I have it done once a year or so. And
you scale and root plane?
It's the first question she asks me whether if I'll be paying cash.
Do you eat stinky cheese? That's what they usually ask you.
Periodontal disease, of course, built up by that plaque. Mm-hmm. The sticky material, bacterial in form, is on the teeth, especially the gum line, leads to infection of the tissues, infection in the blood, as we've discussed over the years. Not so good.
Well, yeah, if you fall asleep with a Slim Jim in your mouth, you're going to get a little plaque.
And then it causes tooth loss. Mm-hmm. Well, not the Slim Jim people. We don't know about that because they're still open for sponsorship. So we'll see if we get back to us on that. But the point of it is, according to the Spanish study, if you get the root cleaning or the deep cleaning and then take care of
that can be painful. Sometimes they put people under for that.
That's true. And you notice now painless dentistry is getting hot. So it's something to think about. And hopefully it covers your insurance, covers it. Mine does, just barely.
Insurance? What's that, Mark?
Another
I'm a
show.
Self-employed entertainer. I have my kidney up for sale to pay for my last dental cleaning.
And you know, if things don't work out, once you're gone, we'll take care of it. We'll donate that to science fiction.
I'm a donor on my license, and they turned out they knocked at my door a couple weeks ago. They want it now. Retroactive.
It's a small print on any document.
Yeah.
Lesson learned. Mm-hmm.
They want my spleen. What does the spleen do? I don't know. I told them they could have it.
There's a new oral treatment for type 1 diabetes. Now, Dobie, being type 2, you're the metformin type of person. Take a couple of those pills, and it seems to be working out well for you because technically, as we've discussed before, diabetes type 2, diabetes type 1, two totally different diseases that share the same name. Mm-hmm. But never had oral for type 1 because for us, what I like to refer to as the real diabetics, you know, the ones with the needles and everything you see on the TV, we don't produce the insulin. So you wish you could take a pill, and that was the first thing I asked because, you know, I feel about anything sharp, including wit. It's not good. And so where's the pill? And they said, well, you can't do that because if you were to eat the insulin, it goes into the stomach, and that's when the acid's in there.
Oh, it makes sense.
Yeah, so that they bypass stomach and, you know, mainline. Yeah. But now, Zynquista is a dual pill inhibitor. But then again,
is that a brand name?
Apparently.
Is it a country in southern Mexico?
It removes the sugar from the intestines and kidneys, and that's as the stop just before the urine and the out. But it does lower blood sugar levels. And then, of course, if you look at the little print about Zynquista, it must be used in conjunction with insulin. So
it's kind of like sidecar, but not.
If I'm already plunging 3, 4, 5 times a day with the needle, you know, if it takes one plunge away, how many times?
It's a start.
Yeah, again, I guess. I got that glass half empty for that one, though. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's the last part. What was it to bring about the cost of diabetes and how the costs always go down?
Okay.
No, they don't.
Not in this world, not in this town.
Exactly. And apparently, now, this is just how diabetes officially the most expensive disease to have in the United States.
Wow.
Congratulations.
All right, we're the Gucci of diseases.
$327 billion per year. Numbers rising more. They're looking at another 8% rise.
Hear that, cancer? We're kicking your butt.
Years ago, diabetes not quite as common, but now, thanks to those lovely diets that folks are on, it's steaming good.
Your boutique disease.
Last year, they're looking at 6 million people dependent on insulin to live, over 30 million with the diagnosis of the disease. And what do we talk about? 8 million have no idea they even have it.
How much you want to bet there's going to be diabetic restaurants before long, sooner than later?
In what regard?
This is going to be a diabetic restaurant. It'll just be diabetic friendly, where diabetics go to eat. Watch.
Diabetic is, if you eat healthy diabetically, you eat healthy.
They're going to hop on the fad, and there's going to be like a little symbol, like the gay and lesbian rainbow. You're going to see a little diabetic symbol. Maybe it's a syringe, and you're going to go in there diabetic friendly. I'm telling you.
Brought to you by Lilly.
You heard it here first.
I like it. See, all of a sudden it wants me to buy that stock. Price of insulin, if you haven't already known, since 1996 in the last, 20-odd years?
I think it's $3.29 a gallon. That's premium. Sorry.
1,200% rise in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. So now we're looking at a bottle of Humalog selling for about $300 a vial.
Yeah. I think you could buy crack a little cheaper on the 2 for Tuesday sale.
But you never buy from the first dealer. How many times?
You're going to have insulin houses.
Here's the deal.
Instead of a crack house.
Medicine hasn't changed at all since the 1990s. Mm-hmm. $300 a vial. We do have, there's a couple of these grassroots organizations trying to take a stand against the high cost of insulin. I mean, how many times you go, I'm just not going to take my insulin today.
I've picketed some hospitals in my day.
Well, that was different. And there was a difference between being arrested and convicted, and we learned it on that time. So, and you did well. Here's the deal with this, Dobie. If you cannot afford the insulin, there are some programs. There are. And you go to our website, which we haven't even talked about, thediabeticshow.com.
Right.
Facebook, we have a presence.
We do.
We'll get there from here. Go there. It shows you how to get lower cost drugs, because all these companies, Sanofi, Lilly, they all have deals, I guess. If you can prove you're destitute, I don't know. Send them a picture of your empty stomach or your refrigerator.
Diabetic outlet. Yeah. How do they do it? Volume.
If you need...
Sunday, having a big blowout sale.
Insulin at an affordable price. Now, and we don't talk well of Walmart.
Costco.
Not yet.
Will they have the big insulin sale? If we go 55-gallon drum, if buy a four-pack?
I know they sell coffins.
In a four-pack?
So here's the deal. If you need the insulin, you need it cheap. Walmart now has the cheap insulin. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't have, maybe they're all comedians or such. The unions, they have to buy it themselves. Walmart sells the older insulins. Now, the older ones were the ones we grew up with in the 80s, or at least I did. There was regular. There was an R, NPH, and then there's a mixture of the two. NPH was a long-acting. R was a shorter-acting. Totally different than they are today. They're much better today, but hey, $300 a vial. You can get these for $25, though, per vial at Walmart. And, of course, how many times have we heard this before? Syringes, always extra.
Yep.
So, anyway, you contact your Walmart for the cheaper insulins. Talk to your doctor. A lot of people have great control with $25. Hey, then you can afford things.
Yep. Good stuff.
Ground beef.
If you have anything to contribute, you can contact us at thediabeticshow.com, Mark or Dobie, D-O-B-I-E, and send us stuff. We'd love to hear from you.
We do have a couple questions if we run short today.
I don't think we do. We've got a fantastic guest that you brought in, and I want to get to her soon.
That's true. We'll take the break here. We'll come back with somebody who has, she has too good, or had too good of a pancreas. That's the tease.
Compelling radio coming up.
Mark Bell with Type 1.
Dobie Maxwell, Type 2.
And if you want to reach out to us, we please. I mean, we get a lot of good banter. It's nice. Gives us ideas for the show, which way to take it. It seems a lot of people want to know about other people dealing with things like diabetes.
It's a on-air social club, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. So in the past, we've had endos on here. Well, we've had everybody, literally every type of a slice of
Lutherans. Illinois people, everything.
So, we discussed diabetes as being, quite simply, pancreas that refuses to work, refuses to produce the insulin when required, or in my case, it releases it and it's jumped on by the various white blood cells, killing it before it has a chance to do any good. And so, here I am injecting it, you with your metformins, to kind of even things out.
Like M&Ms.
And we say to ourselves, why doesn't the pancreas work? I wish I had a pancreas that worked. Mm-hmm. And with that, we'd like to introduce our guest, Janet Whipple. Janet, first off, thank you for showing up. Thank you for sticking through the first portion, because that's generally the weakest part of the show when we lose a lot of people. You don't have diabetes.
No.
No. But you have a pancreatic disease.
Yes. My pancreas didn't fuse together as a fetus.
So during the developmental, as you're aging, didn't finish up. And what was the result of that?
The sphincter tubes and the upper...
The ducts.
The ducts didn't work correctly. They would just shut on me and not open.
So what was the result? I mean, what was your life going through with a pancreas that was like that?
Hell. Sure. I was in the hospital most of the time. Spend weeks at a time in the hospital on just pain meds, no food. They don't want the pancreas working.
Well, break that down. Now, what do you mean by you don't want the pancreas working?
Introducing food causes the pancreas to work.
Right.
Where it digests your food, sends it to where it's supposed to go, and also your insulin levels.
It releases the various hormones.
Did they feed you intravenously?
Yes. Actually, no, not food, just sugar waters.
Mm.
Sugar waters.
Wow. Yeah, just to keep the my sugar levels up.
That's how you brought that up. Your sugar level's up. So your life has been a hypoglycemic existence. In other words, Delby, this is what I've gotten with our preliminary discussions. Jan has a pancreas that works, or worked, and worked, and worked. And it would flood so many insulinic, whatever they are, out into the bloodstream, eating up anything that remotely resembles a glucose. Mm-hmm. Complete, utter shutdown of, I mean, I don't know. See, you've never had the, have you ever been chemically hypoglycemic yet?
I have not.
Okay, well, for me, let me give you my side of it. I can go hypoglycemic because of the chemical I inject, if you know, the insulin.
Right.
And I'm sure with you living, if you worked out a lot, I mean, boy, your body is super tuned on top of that. So you are hypoglycemic.
Correct.
But now, for me, instant sweats, confusion, the body literally shutting down, not being able to function. What was your life like? I mean,
If I don't eat every couple hours, I have attacks.
Now, attacks, what do you mean by attacks? Seizure-y or what?
Well, like you said, the sweats, the whiteouts, the confusion, not knowing where I'm at.
Even now?
Oh, I still have
them. So this
now,
is a whole lifetime thing you could go through?
Yes.
But she's taken steps.
Okay.
Like, for instance, first off, you lived with this, well, for how long before you decided, I have to do something? Or did it decide for you?
It decided for me.
What happened?
For 12 years, I went through pain, and, you know, it just flares up for no reason. We thought maybe it was food. We tried dieting. We tried all kinds of things like that, and nothing helped.
So the doctors were going through his diagnosis because he just sees the external of what's happening to you. What did they think it might be? Did they know right away it was pancreatically driven?
No, they took my gallbladder. They put in stents. Into the ducts to open them up, to keep them open. It went on for 12 years before I found a doctor that had said I could take it out.
Really? So before that?
They told me I would die without one.
Because quite literally, they took out your pancreas.
Yes.
Gone.
It's gone.
Like taking the transmission out of a car, then you wonder why it doesn't work.
Right.
And you're here. How are you still here?
They transplanted the islets that create my insulin into my liver, and now my liver acts as my pancreas, which still creates too much insulin, so I'm still hypoglycemic.
Okay, so literally, they took out, and the gist of a pancreas, and Lord knows we are not doctors, and we have our diabetic specialist here, and so, again, you're stuck with just the lay people here, Adobe and I.
Not only am I not a doctor, I don't even have sloppy handwriting.
He's never played one on TV. Mm-mm. It's a gap.
Nope.
But bottom line is, I think, how do you live without? I mean, we all think, how do you live without the pancreas? They literally took it out, and actually the pancreas, it regulates hormone, is one of the many functions it does have. But that's why they always say, at least for us regular diabetics, that, oh, you just need another pancreas or an artificial pancreas. Now they're getting big with those mechanicals. But so I still got to wrap my mind around this, Janet. They remove your pancreas. Mm-hmm. Where do they get the islets from? From the pancreas?
From my pancreas, yes.
As they were taking it out?
Yes. It took them 15 hours, but they were able to extract them and then transplant them into my liver. And I was told at the time that they had the most they'd ever gotten from a pancreas before.
Really?
Wow. So,
congratulations on the record.
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, I'm sorry, that was the Jetsons. I apologize for that. But overall, I'm still trying to get this. They take out your pancreas. They then withdraw the islets.
Correct.
And then turn right back around while you're there. Mm-hmm. Because it's all done in that 15 hours, or my God, all day surgery. And then inject them in your liver.
Correct.
How does the liver know what its new job is?
I don't really know how it works.
That's your job.
You don't play one on TV either? Is this what you're telling us?
No.
They're the doctors. You're the patient. That's
correct.
Wow.
So I just know that they're in there and they work, and that my liver is very important.
Yeah, doubly so for you.
Right, because it does quite a few different things than a normal liver. So the only thing I take is an enzyme to help my food
break?
Process.
Right.
But other than that...
Could you eat anything you want?
Yes, pretty much so. I have to be careful with sugary things because my insulin goes to work really fast when I eat candy or anything with a lot of sugar.
Just spikes,
in it.
Spikes it up.
Spikes it up, and then it eats it really quick, and then I drop.
Wow.
I got a large cotton candy we were going to give you as a gift for being on the show
no
today.
No parting prizes for
think
you.
Think we're give you that today?
Not today.
No, sorry. Maybe you could take it for your kids.
So what type of lifestyle change? I mean, you obviously, well, first off, you're in great shape. Is exercise a part of it, or do you almost have to pull back on the exercise because of the efficiency? It creates more reasons.
I cannot really exercise a lot because it eats up my sugar,
right.
And I can go into a diabetic coma.
That quickly?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever?
No.
How about hey, diabetic?
Come close.
Yeah, how about a diabetic nap?
Yeah, I had that.
Close to a coma.
Wow.
Completely white out, sweats, just knock me off my feet.
So it was a number of years with other doctors who were kind of stumbling around the problem. How did you find the doctor that you went to? Actually found it.
I had a doctor treat me really bad. He did a really terrible thing to me, and I left him because of it. And I want to thank him to this day for it because I found somebody who could help me.
It opened your eyes.
It did. That there was actually something that could work for me. I met with several different doctors. And this one doctor, she told me, I know somebody can help you. And I went to the University of Chicago and met with my doctor, and he was great. He talked to me like I was just a regular person. I didn't sit there looking at him like, you know, sheep in the headlights. I knew what was going on. And he helped us make a big decision. I could do a partial or I could do a full. And we went with the full because the full opted me the islet transplant.
Okay, so in other words, they were thinking about just taking out part of the pancreas.
Correct.
As opposed to the whole thing and then the islets.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, so so they inject the islets in you, and then the body just starts taking over and...
Correct.
Son of a gun. It's just nuts how I mean, it just blows my mind.
I had never heard of anything like this, but please continue, because I think people already think it's freaky enough just to be diagnosed with diabetes. So you're way off the charts. Now, does anybody in your family have this kind of trait? Like, do you have siblings?
My twin sister's hypoglycemic. She was very heavy for a while, and she was diabetic. And now that she's lost the weight, she's now hypoglycemic also.
Really? So you kind of tipped the scale, and once you got to that point, went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Son of a gun. I mean, that's... The islets, literally, are the key, obviously.
Right.
I'm
going
to ask one of my many dumb questions. How large is the pancreas? Is it the size of, like,
a breakfast steak?
What, go ahead. I don't know.
Well, when we were developing the idea for the show, mm-hmm. I was looking, hey, what a great idea. We'll use a pancreas somewhere in the logo. Doesn't work. Doesn't work at all. It's not an attractive-looking organ. It's a mishmash of folds. And
I have never been complimented. I like your pancreas.
No, never
once.
I actually have.
Have you?
<'Cause> you're one of the few they've actually seen. So
my doctor told me after I came out of surgery that I had one of the best pancreases he ever worked on.
Where is it now? Is it in the Smithsonian?
I have no idea.
Well-endowed pancreas.
He says it was huge, and he was able to extract the most he's ever pulled out.
Well, you're not, you don't have a large frame anyway. You're like, what, 5 foot maybe?
5 feet, yeah.
All right. And you had a pancreas of a
Charles
giant.
Atlas.
Yes. I mean, my God. It's got to give you, first off, you open up a lot of eyes. Because, you know, Janet, a lot of people can't do what you did. And that was take the decision that you weren't happy with the doctor that you had. And a lot of times, especially with our experiences when we've had guests, a lot of them don't want to make the move because they realize, oh, no.
It's understandable, though, too.
I was scared.
It's like a bad marriage. People then they get out of that marriage. And think, it's the best thing I ever did.
It was.
Should have shot the son of a bean years ago.
Son of a gun.
I spent a lot of time being angry at him, and then thanked him for pushing me out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So true. Every bad experience leads you to where you happen to be, and the good ones. Well, I tell you, we'll take the break. We'll come back, and we'll continue on.
Okay, love
to hear about this. Right? Janet Whipple is our special guest, and the Diabetic Show. Toby Maxwell's over there.
It's Mark Phillip. We'll be right back.
The Diabetic Show. Mark Phillip, type 1.
Toby Maxwell, type 2. And you, thank you for joining us.
As always. Special guest today in studio, Janet Whipple. Janet, a holder of chronic pancreatitis. I was practicing that during the break. And you're on the other side, Janet.
Yes.
We discussed it with you. You have just a pancreas that just won't quit. And so the doctors made it quit. Mm-hmm. So now you're minus a pancreas. They took those cells, the isolates that we've spoke about so many times, injected it in your own liver. And, of course, the question, well, originally, and Dobie brought it up, about a rejection. But then you had the perfect answer. Why didn't your body reject those isolates?
Because I dissected the islets from my own pancreas, so there was no rejection because it was my own body.
So quite literally, as they removed your pancreas, they took those isolates out, injected them in your liver, happily ever after. Well, happily, to a point, happily ever after.
Yes.
But at least your life.
So this is a permanent lifetime thing, so you don't have to have any more procedures?
Nope. I haven't been back to the hospital in 9 years.
Wow.
Excellent. Good job.
Yes, it's a plus. It was the best thing that I ever did.
So it's just a matter now, you're technically considered what non-diabetic, just a regular norm.
Just a regular norm with a little bit of hypoglycemia.
Yeah. I said this came to you in childhood. If someone could this come on in adulthood, like if someone has a symptom or something, would be a seizure or something that would say, hey, I better see somebody, or I don't know.
It's a very painful episode. The pain in your abdomen is just excruciating. It literally brings you to the ground.
Okay, so you actually felt, see, with diabetes and such, the only thing we feel are the complications from the diabetes.
Right.
You actually felt pain from your pancreas.
Yes. It was debilitating. It just would knock me to the ground. And the first time I had it, my whole family had the flu. And my husband was like, you have the flu. And I kept telling him, I don't have the flu. I'm dying. And he kept telling me, you're not dying. Well, we went to the doctor's office, and blood work came back, and the doctor said, get her to the hospital. She's dying. My liver were up over 400.
Mm-hmm.
I was dying.
Yeah, the body's at that point starting to
shut down. Wow. So it was very painful. They put me on a lot of opioids. I lived on opioids for a long time, for 12 years.
No, that's no life.
No, it was horrible. I don't touch any of it now. I'm not on any pain medicine, nothing. It's great.
Thank you so much for stopping by, Janet. Just, Dobie.
Congratulations on your success. That's a great story.
I mean, that is.
Thank you. Yes.
Excellent. So we will watch what we wish for.
Yes.
I would like a moderately working pancreas within norms.
Yes, please.
Oh, you're kind of like the Prius of pancreas. Is kind of,
I never thought
it's a hybrid.
That.
Yeah.
Your liver's got, you know, we're extra there. Passing gear.
Appreciate you stopping by. Before we call the show, we were talking about testing, you know, the five questions, I think it was, at those diabetic sites.
Yes.
We have Troy McDonald. He kind of went through there, answered those questions. And, Troy, what was the outcome of your diabetic quiz?
Well, the outcome was that I was potentially at risk.
Excellent. Well, but not.
Is anybody in your family diabetic?
No, high blood pressure, but not not diabetic.
Okay, well, so no, I hope you don't get it, but you know, I still get that bitter thing.
Here's
going
to the good diet,
years.
Brother.
Yeah. Well, that's it, honestly.
Yeah.
So basically, at this point,
it did scare me though when I had that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I'm 26. Mm-hmm. I feel fine, but that scared me, and so I actually changed how I ate after that.
I was 26 when they diagnosed me.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But it was always free pizzas. You know, radio was free food.
I know.
Oh, Lordy. Well, hey. Keep in touch, you know, like if things go, you know, There's always an extra chair. We might have an opening for a type one. So,
God.
Good luck to you. Aside from that, Dobie, as always, how do they get the...
Diabeticshow.com, Facebook group. Please contact us. Again, we have fun, but we don't make fun. You know, this is a serious thing, and sometimes we laugh and we make light of some things, but this is something. It's a scary thing. We want to open it up so people can at least look at things sanely. And thanks for being